because his reality, his love, his truth, just a seed of longing is enough. You've already received the fruit. So longing for him is just wanting that for him is, that is his grace. Because once you do that, it's not the soil of illusion that you're putting your seed in. It's in the truth, that seed of longing. And it's bound to come, bound to be. In fact, one seed produces thousands of the grain. The fruit from his longing for him is so tremendous that you cannot harvest it. His bounty, his giving is so beyond anything that we can even receive. Therefore, this longing is so important, this wanting, because if Baba not only gives one to the measure of one's wanting, he gets over and beyond that measure. And he always gives. But it is for us to stop wanting what is just passing illusory and to really want there, to want to please him, to want to see him. Because you're longing that, you already have a date. You already want to see that. Even the songs of Kabir. Kabir's songs are songs and poems applied to everyday life. The emperor among the perfect masters, as she was named, never allowed herself to be called woman. He said, we have such a long concept of the women and the men and the black and the white, and we wonder, what did Baba say about women's roles? What did Baba say about the flag? And yet we see it with such a limited vision. And it's even silly to say, what did Baba say about that? What is there to say about that? Baba has even given us a glimpse of the panorama of the pattern of creation and its play. That is this, then it's that. It's an experience. The ones who are black in this life, well, in the next life, they're white. The ones who are women in this life, they're men in the next. So it's so childish. We still keep on playing with toys. And so what can mother say when she sees the children playing with toys? You ask, what did he say about this? What did he say about that? But it's so vast and general and over above all these little things. If we see it with that limited thing, so we just stick to that. We think of, look at the number of years I have done this. When actually it's, look at the number of lives that I have done that. You see, because our vision is so limited, we see just so much. And therefore, and sometimes we feel, why did Baba do this to me? Why didn't I get what I asked for? Why did I get this? Why this? Why that? Because he sees in the real perspective, in that he sees all. He's all knowing, all seeing, all giving. So from that angle, he will give you what is best for you. Not always what you ask, but what you need, what you must have. But that song of Kabir. Reviews about so many decades of civilization, right? And I suddenly realized something I forgot, that in 1969, so we have so many birthdays. He does so many things to make you remember him with one excuse or another, so you never forget the joy of his being amongst us as what we call born, without which we would not have the tangible form of God. It's like when Baba takes on a form, when God takes on a form as avatar, I always think of it as becoming a shore, a beach. We hear of the ocean is vast, but only when there is a beach you can approach the ocean. You can dip at least your hands in it. The fortunate ones will walk into it, will swim in it. But there are those that also go by on the shore and don't even glance. They're so busy picking up pebbles and shells and things, which seems the important thing at the time. And then miss the enormous, the stupendous thing is an ocean, they can miss. walking on, because we have not been too engrossed in our own thing. We have had not the awareness to seek. But once that thirst starts, once that thirst starts, then we always find there is no dirt. There are wells and rivers everywhere. There's the ocean all around you. But you have to have that thirst. Then you'll find it. It's not that the well isn't there. Unless the thirst is there, you won't go to it. And that is what happens in the avataric time. Now at this time, when we read about all those terrible things that are happening in the world, the agony and the suffering of humans, the cruelty, the ununderstandable things people do to other people, the things that humans do to the humans. But in spite of it all that, there is that awakening. And the awakening is simply of the thirst. This, they're looking, they want to search. All these young people now, no matter how they're going about it, not all will find the right way of doing it right now. But the awakening is this rumbling, this huge movement of the whole world that even we all once feel that, and we are amazed. No matter the surface things, no matter the little details which we may not understand or be surprised or shocked, but deep down in that, the rumbling has started, and nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop Baba from going ahead, in spite of us. Not even because of us, who even were close with Baba all these years, but in spite of us and in spite of anybody and everybody. That, once that has started, it will go on, gathering speed, gathering volume, gathering size, and nothing can stand in its way. And that, therefore, this is the most hopeful and the most happy time imaginable, no matter what it may seem in the circumstances. At such a time, and that, even those, and among that, this is the fortunate time even for those who are not aware of the God-man. Then how much more so for those who have been drawn to him, who have been awakened to the recognition, he is among us. What are we here for? For him. So when you turn your face towards him, this is the time that we, the lucky ones, and Father would say. But once you turn, the shadows are because one has not turned their face towards him. When you turn your back to him, then we face our own shadows, because he is the sun. And our shadows can be very long, very dark. So slowly as we turn round, once you face him, there are no shadows. And Eros thinks I didn't see him sneeze into the floor. But a woman has four eyes. A woman has the two side eyes, like the antennas. a joke. I think I read it to Baba. I told it to Baba. Yes. And there were two people arguing. One can argue over anything. That's the happy part of things. And one of them said, there is no God. What do you mean you keep on hopping on God this and God that? Where is it? What proof have you? There's no God. And the other one was arguing. But don't you see the intricate, exquisite details of this creation? Who but God could have created this? That's all your own imagination. This has just happened. It just happened. And this was going on between them. And they came to an agreement. They said, all right, we'll settle it this way. The next person we meet, we will ask. And now if he says, yes, there is God, then the one who said there isn't said, I will believe. And the other said, all right, if he says there is no God, I will believe. There's an agreement. Okay? So just as they were starting, around the corner came a man. And they said, stop, stop. We want to ask you something. We have. So they put their case to him. The man put up his hands and says, thank God, I'm an atheist. So even an atheist actually is a testimony to his very existence. No, Eric, you can't escape too long. It's a holiday for you to spend. Holiday. I always say that I've been looking forward to old age. especially as Bob is not physically with us. We thought, when we're old, you know, we can retire. You know, after all, look at the lovely young people Bob has given us to help us and support us. And it's wonderful, wonderful, in every way. But, you know, how nice it would be to retire. Because along with the help of, along with these beautiful people, Bob is getting more work. You have to chase after the work. You fill it, and then there's more of it, you see? And I had this vision of retiring, a nice rocking chair, and some knitting perhaps, and ducks, you know, I can, and a parrot, and that. And then it came to me one day that Baba doesn't retire his mandali. He retires them. We can go on and on and on some more. And so I still remember after the accident in 1952, when we were in Myrtle Beach, there was a beautiful bungalow by the ocean called Yupon Dunes, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had us very comfortably.
Go back up on the clock and receive an embrace from Baba. And it was in Indian clothes, with the saris and your dresses. And so we had made an exchange of clothes as well as position. And the following morning in Guru Prasad, Baba remarked about how wonderful it was. Morning in Guru Prasad, Baba remarked about how wonderful it was together, and how nice it was that the East and West were all mixed up.
But it was even before that, when we went from here to Guru Prasad for the darshan to be the father, we don't know why we took so many clothes. We really need a lot more than we knew we would wear or needed. But somehow, when we got there, we found we got a lot of clothes we hadn't any spring. And then when the rains came, you know, the Western women were sent in and we opened Irani's cupboards. We always wondered, why are these Irani's cupboards locked? Well, we don't need them here. But we were glad because there were a lot of towels in it. Everybody was wiping their hair. We could be soaked in the rain. And you see, the rain came through to come down. But even before it came, although from where Baba was seated, we couldn't see the clouds, Baba made that motion of rain. Some would observe that. Even it came, you know, this clothes coming out, and it was such fun too.
It was
for some it was too large, but for some it was too small. And I still remember one Baba lover, a dear Baba lover, we couldn't get a blouse off her. Sometimes within 2 people pulling the blouse off from her arm, just like you hear of these stories of Georgia's hair, that if these 3 people pull off a coat from somebody, you know, they should be so snug and fitting. And it was such fun, and I still remember there were some who loved the sari so much, but the blouse wouldn't fit. The sari could fit anybody. And Zerohi Bajal Jan was one of them, and she wore this sari, and wrapped it round her, yeah. So her bare arms were not seen, but she didn't have a blouse on. But she wrapped herself in that sari, and she looked regal. She went about and just greeted.
What
about the ceremonial robe?
Yes,
she had the robe. She wouldn't wear the sari. She had inherited it from Elizabeth. Elizabeth had given that to
Swinton.
Lovely, fun color. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so Rana's taken that with her. Suddenly Rana remembered. So here Elizabeth was wearing her old silver gown that she had given to Rana years before.
I actually mind her wearing it because we were desperate at that point. I mean, here was a selfie.
And she looked grand. Elizabeth looked like a leader of some order or organization. And then on top of it, she had that rosette, which everybody had who were participating in the Easter Darshan.
The emblem.
Now, in the meantime, just to see how the ground works out, there is, at Baba's feet, on one side, the Maharani of Baroda, Shanta Devi. So one
who has offered her palace, her residence called Guru Prasad, to Baba, to use whenever he would like, as long as he would like. In fact, she stopped any of her relatives staying there, even for a short visit during Baba's absence, in case Baba suddenly decided to come back. It should always be open for him, always be there for him. So at one side, as you speak, throughout the darshan, he was seated, Maharani Shantadevi, and on the other side was Yogi Sudananda Bharati of the south, a little man devoted to Baba, but he had this open gown on, which was his traditional wear all the time. And he was very keen to meet the head of Mayapurbeach Center. You know, that's the Baba organization, according to him. And he, after Mayapurbeach Center is big in Baba's world, is big in Baba's love. And Baba himself selected that. And I mean, Elizabeth put all her heart and everything else she had in it. So, he had, of course, heard about all that. He wanted to meet the person who was responsible for Baba to do it too. So, it so happened that at that time, when Elizabeth came out onto the platform from the bungalow, Guru Prasad, she walked past, she came to Baba and raised Baba in that silk dressing gown with that rosette on. And that at the time Baba introduced Yogi was most satisfied. This was his mental picture of the leader of the center of Avatar Madhava. He was in his ochre robe. She was in the silk gown. You see? She had no idea what was happening.
That's what Lily said. She probably thought it was a ceremonial gown.
Yes.
He says everything.
It's so sweet to go by. She was joining in and doing namaste, and she was and of course there was a whole thing. Anybody else would have thought of that coming on the platform and dressing down that.
She looked a queen, you know, how she comes out. But see, Baba satisfied me too, the way I'll tell you a funny little story, yes, I've said it before and I haven't prepared it, but I think some of you haven't. How Baba can make you aware of your own needs or fads or fancies to so aware of it so that you want to get away from it. He will not say don't do this or don't do that in this case, but see the way he did it. Yogi Sudananda Bharati this time. He loves Baba, he wants to be with Baba during this darshan and all. But he writes that please, can accommodation be made somewhere for him? And you know, I'm on a strict diet. I only eat fruits, nuts, things like that, my meat.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Very present. That's it. And so many stories that we also came to learn later. The darshan in Pune, the darshan where Baba said, to the good darshan of the time. What have you asked for? What's that? In a talk, you know, called the name. It's a...
She did. She was there.
Yeah.
You were there, no? In 69?
The 69 darshan.
Yes.
Yes.
No, but the... The story of an earlier time when Baba was here was given darshan. What I'm trying to say is, Nietzsche knows how people go, that the men, there's a line of men. The men rise, it's their turn, one by one, to take darshan. And after, say, 15, 20 minutes, they're asked to be seated, but the women don't have, and that's why it goes on. And Baba's way down there at the end of the hall, looking so gentle, so frail, silent. Just in a white sweater, as he said, simple. And everybody around him is color, tall, joy, because they're here with their beloved. They come for the dash of his corner. So there is so much of that movement of sound and color and voice. And you're silently sitting there, and then everything focuses on him. As long as it's come out from the point which you see as my Baba. Oh, this lady is out there. And then each one goes by. So this story was told by one of the Eastern Baba Levis,
And after that, Adjusted Scott, it's still a Christian audition. He may have been there at the time. But he said, how? He was way back. At the end of the hall, near those beautiful glass doors that put at the side in the front. And he could see Baba. Then the men were asked to stand. It was their turn. So he stood up. He was at the end. And he watched them. He watched each one going closer to Baba. And he said to himself, each time he went a step further, he said, a step closer to God. A step closer to God. His whole concentration, all his focus was on Baba. And he watched that he saw that each one that came to Baba, was all very quick. There was not much time to spend with Baba. But that a moment is an eternity when he's within. And what he has to give, he doesn't need that time. But he would watch that some, after they've garlanded his Baba or given something which offered an offering to Baba, a sweet or coconut or flowers or fruit, and on Baba would return them so often, sometimes he would. But then, Baba was beginning to say, he would do one of the four things, according to the Baba that also told the story. Baba would say, how's your health? Or he would caress his cheek like that, or pat him on the back, or ask, how's the family? And he said to himself, which one would it be? Which would it be? Will he caress my cheek? Will he pat me on the back? Or will he ask after my welfare? Or will he ask after my family? So each time as he's going by, there's nothing else that exists for him in the heart. He's getting one step closer, another step closer to God. What will he say to me? How will I receive him? In what form will he give up himself to me? I ask. And Eros was standing next to Baba as usual. And when the garlands were too many, then Eros removes the garland and wipes Baba's forehead with a soft kerchief that Nara has sent him. And saying to Baba's knee. And so, when this man at last, step by step by step, at last his turn has come, Baba turns his face away. He looks up at Eros, and he asks something not important. Eros looks a bit surprised and says, when will that bearded man, probably Amartin Fredo, the MP of Delhi, Baba Lara, when will his train go? And Baba's looking puzzled and sort of concerned. Will he catch his train on time? Or will he miss? Now this man, he has a couple of years. And he can't delay much longer. He tries to make it slow, but the others are all behind him. And the word, look at these people, because the others tried. He couldn't anymore. So he at last, heavy of heart, turned away, and then went back to the side road that they all did, to go right hand. The moment he turned back, Baba looked back at his next one. How's your health? And caressing. I think you should have all right. Slap him on the back. Then the whole session is finished, and now they're all to leave. You know how Baba would arrange that? The way he would direct it, manipulate it as it were. Like, for instance, he would start talking about obedience. And what obedience meant, how obedience should be given, the great lovers, the great ones. How they obeyed. And everyone, you can see everybody sitting straight up. You were ready to do anything for Baba. If he told us at this moment, go jump into the lake or something, they were ready to do anything, off a cliff. And Baba would then say, I want Guru Prasad into your warm, my lovers in 2 minutes flat. And that was obedient. And then everybody would start groaning, they've been caught. Oh, it was a trick. Baba was doing all this too. And of course they would get up. But each would pretend that they couldn't move, so they would have to laugh. So just when all of them up and happening, Baba suddenly tells Eros, I want that man. He's pointing out way to the end of the hole. And there's a big space in between. And Eros and of course everybody's talking and everybody's now in the meeting. So then Eros calls out to another, I think Pendu and Pendu calls out to Alba and Alba calls out to Vishnu. Here, Baba wants that man. And then somebody's going like, this one, no, this one, no, this one, yes. So the Baba wants it, that man. Me? Yes. So he brought all the way from there into the grounds room, from the side room, and the presence of Baba. And Baba said, Baba, can I assist you? And Baba said, Baba asked, how are you? And how is the family?
But Baba was not it. He had to receive in that measure. The Baba should have thought. He didn't keep what the other did. He gave him all the four. The power of that specialist. Already answered is the cleanse of the lot. And to the measure of the lot.
Ram, becoming the king, his brother had to take over. Because he had to go out into exile. But he didn't like, the brother didn't like the idea. Brother wanted Ram should be the right, because he's the rightful king and all that. But something had happened, which is a long story. So Ram comforted him and said, look, years will pass by in no time. He said, honor your father's wish. And you become
the marriage that Baba is the, really is the side of the ocean, and he never leaves one empty. If he takes one, he'll give two. That's Baba's way. It reminds me of how Mira said to Baba one day, Baba, you know, that married couple, they're childless. They're not, why don't you give them a child? Oh, Baba said, child? Fine. I have so many with me to give. Good. It didn't happen, actually, when Mara came to think of it. But like this, in his store, in his precious particular clothes store, there are so many. I have so many. Like we've heard Babajan say, Babajan, the perfect master, and she said to somebody who was lame, had only one leg, it was hopping on a thing. So, and the lame one was standing so pathetically before her. And she started talking, you know, as if, you know, with herself, with God, herself. Saying, what's the matter? Why are you being so stingy? You've got so many good legs up there, so many good legs. Give it. And, you know, like, you could see a storeroom full of these beautiful legs in up there. You got so many. Don't be such a miser. Give him up. But she was so dynamic. She was so tiny. Such force, such power in her moments, her voice. She was dynamic. That's the only word you can use. Vibrant. And the big men who were around her, especially those two that were looking after her, were like lambs trembling before her, you know, in case they displeased her in some little way. She was like Baba, women is it or sometimes, and just changed it. She said this, and then she scolded the person, why did you bring this? But then you ask, you don't say that. You say, which is the other you want to bring? That what is the thing is that the obedience that Baba told us about, the obedience that we could give, we should give, which we want to give, is that kind of obedience. But sometimes Baba would give us a little stories or incidents or examples. He would speak of the slave named Ayaz, who was or Kamali, Kalyan. I mean the perfection. When you just hear of that, that obedience to such perfection that Kalyan was. In the mid of day, when the master said, Kalyan, what's the matter with you? Can't you see how dark it is?
Yeah.
And you sit there like a log. Why don't you go bring the lantern? So Kalyan goes out. Does not say, oh, but master, it is daylight. Where is it dark? No. He goes out. And going out, he stumbles as if he were walking in the dark. He not only accepts that the master has said it is darkness, but that perfect obedience in which he feels the darkness, he experiences the darkness, and he goes out and lights a lantern and enters. So sometimes for his lovers, Baba would say, be like Ayaz. That is another perfect slave of the Lord. Be like Ayaz. Now, Ayaz is the name of that slave. And Piyaz, in Hindi language, Piyaz means an onion. And you know when you cut an onion, it makes you cry. So Baba would say, don't be like Piyaz. Be like Ayaz. But that's grace only he can give. Who is? Maybe a middle experience is maybe like a waiting room. It is some accounting that is adjusted, like in the balance sheet. But bang, that we think we die, but we don't. He says, "Marna, marna, sab koi kahe, mari na jaane koi." Everybody talks about dying, dying, but nobody knows how to die. Marna ho to aise maro ke phir na marna ho. If you must die, then die in such a way that you have not to die again. That means not to get born again. So all these little dyings are not really dyings. Only at the end, when your self is finished, that dying is a rejoicing. And a celebration, as a glorification. So, no.
Then you baptize.
Yes.
And then you'll go to heaven.
You know, I'm longing to see in Western civilization, education rather, these topics of reincarnation, of all these things that Baba teaches, if it's at the foundation, you know, God, education about God, not religion or this or that, but about God, and that foundation is there, you see, one always comes to a dead end or crumbles. Yeah. But that should be, you know, someday maybe around the world. Education without that is... Even now when we play the radio in the morning, when you turn on the radio, the first item of the program is in praise of God. So there are songs, Tukarams, the Puppet Master's songs, or other devotional songs that people have. And it makes the day, you know, sunny. This is that ray of reality. You begin with that. It makes the whole thing bearable. You go through it. Beginning must always be that. Like that is why we're at Baba level. Anything you begin with Baba's name. Every little thing you do, you acknowledge him first. Having acknowledged him, the rest is his. It is for him to either tear it to pieces or to make it bloom. That's his. To give it to him. The first prayer in the morning is really that, may I go through the day as it would please you, that it would be yours. Read it. Then you're ready to. Whatever he wants, it's his tune. You must dance to it, not your own. But now the singer is gone. First, the guitar wala gone.
Now, because the bath was here, so it was just after we returned, after the entombment, and then we had gone to Pune for the great darshan, and there was sort of a life had changed. Everything seemed to have changed around us at the time, because Baba's physical presence is not there. And all of a sudden, the women returned to their quarters, we are here. One day, Mera is going from one room to another. I don't know whether you have gone to the hall there or not, at least have you visited the place or not? Baba's room. And the adjoining is the hall. So, the sitting room of Baba. Baba and the women would sit there. So there she's walking, and her room is there. So while she's walking from there and she's coming, and all of a sudden she sees this in the evening. And the glow of the sunset was such that she was amazed to see this figure. And says, "Call it Mani, Mani, come here and see what is it on the tree. Can you see anything?" She says, "Yeah, it's Baba. Baba's head." That's how it is. It was a big thing. And afterwards what happened, it went up. Naturally Mani took from a little box camera, you know, that brownie little thing, took a little snapshot of it, two or three shots, and sent to Adi. Adi was there, to the office. We never used to go outside of this place. And Adi got it, got the prints of it. And he sent them. With that he wrote a note, "I'm amazed with the likeness. Who is the artist who did that? Who etched it out? Who did it on the river?" And Mani says, "Who did it? Nobody did it. It was nature." And he was amazed and he came in the car to see what it is. And then he started telling people, Baba people in Ambednagar. And Baba people, naturally, villagers heard from them, the citizens heard, and there was a huge throng of pilgrims coming to see the tree. And when he was here, nobody would come. This is what happened. Yeah. Well,
we do have some images. We have copies somewhere, but I couldn't find. He always had most unusual weather, which we never had in 50 years or 100 years. So in Quetta, it was springtime when we went. All the blossoms and everything looked so beautiful. It was still cool and nice. Suddenly, we had a hailstorm. This hails were like the size of golf balls. And it destroyed all the blossoms, all the nice fruit trees. Cattle were killed. So much destruction of the house. And it came in the papers. In 50 years, this hailstorm, which was never there before. And then it turned chilly, cold. We had all this hail in our compound so high. It was tin roofs, I think, because it was after the earthquake and they couldn't build anything very solid. So we were still living in these new houses. Remember, Eric? They were all damp.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were newly constructed. They couldn't build anything beyond just small, short, flat houses so that if anything happened, people wouldn't be harmed so much, you see. They could run out quickly, and no stories allowed, all flat houses like that. And I think that's what continues, and so the hail stopped. Suddenly, I know what's happening outside. Oh my dear, look at this. And all that hail we had.
What did the doctor, did the doctor diagnose what happened, you think? Just from wearing it.
And to the tape and... That was Katie talking about going to Quetta. Katie talking about going to Quetta, and the weather was funny, so you can add there in writing at the wherever the avatar went, it was unusual. One place it was always hot, it was cold. One place it never rained, it rained. First time in 50 years, different weather effects of the travels of the avatar.
It broke me down. Because I had that pride of strength.
We had a fast during that whole trip, one meal a day.
What a meal it was.
That was for everyone.
I can't vouch for them, but for me I can say that.
Well, it was towards the end, everything was exhausted, and then we had only that naan and the onion. And
a whole onion?
A raw onion, and I think there was a little pickle left, so Baba gave some of them. And that's why that onion was so hot, just brought tears to eyes. And we were so hungry, so we ate that dry naan, just like shoe leather. So we just chewed on it. That's all. You got the same thing, Eric?
No.
So can't
I can't believe you all are eating all that.
We had that and we had no more.
They
had pilgrim center food. Yeah, they really did have.
That was the last remnants left over, and we had to still make it to Quetta. And this is what Baba gave us in the end.
This is where I caught Kitty, you know. I used to keep watch near Baba at about 4 o'clock or so. And then Baba would tell me to go and rest for some time, some couple of hours. So when I'm resting, and of course there's no place for me to rest, it's the bus there outside, so I'm resting inside the bus, sleeping just like that. On the driver's seat, and all of a sudden I hear this noise right on the roof of the bus. I thought, oh, there is somebody now. Well, and I go out with my flashlight and say, who is that? Well, it's Kitty. Don't worry. Go and rest. I said, what are you doing here right up on the top of the hill? No, I'm trying to search something. There were potatoes also, so onions she was searching. I don't know what it was. So she was trying to make something here in the early hours of the morning. Kitty. on the top of the luggage, mind you.
Trying to find a sack of potatoes.
I think potatoes were there for a few days. We had potatoes, something like that. Yeah.
So she was in charge of the tea and all that. I was the cooking, so I had provided for so many days. And everything was finished. Everything was, hodgepodge was now done with the last day. Then the left room was only the dry bread and onions.
His restaurant was finished, right?
Yeah, of course. There was
that was all over.
There was the worst fit place, you know. Like that. Yeah, just before Baba passed.
Everywhere, the whole Maharashtra.
A big one.
Yeah, big one.
There is a trampling noise. In Bombay, we
heard it. Early morning, it was in the morning, and I opened the, I said, it's total impudence. You see, the military has come here. Just near my window. And I got so annoyed, and got out. And Pendu comes and opens the door. I said, what? Look at this. Pendu says, did you hear? I said, yeah, I'm hearing it. And then it started rocking.
First the sound.
Yeah, first the sound comes.
And then the...
The roar comes first.
Sounds are faster than the earth.
Ordinary earthquakes, of course, you don't hear. Sometimes you do hear some sort of rumbling as you find in the skies, you know, sometimes. But when it is of high intensity, you hear the roars. Real roars, eh? Just as she says about the trucks moving. Or I had experience of this intensity here that was really like the tanks. All the tanks that have come here. Roar of the tanks. Like that.
How many seconds?
I don't know, how can I mark that?
In Bombay,
it was not lasting too much, but the roar lasted for some time.
In Ashiana, sometimes there are big...
Except the rocks, the hill got damaged.
Did that happen much?
The boulders.
Sometimes there are big fissures in the earth also.
I think it must have been sometime after war, to play the miracle with Lady Diana. Went east, as one went towards Europe. Nowadays I have a feeling that you're going towards west, more towards the Orient. I may be wrong, but that's...